Hello, this is the Inclusive Activism Podcast. I am your host, Rowdy Duncan, and today we are going to be talking a little bit about the idea of being your own worst, best critic. So kind of the concept here is to try to get a sense of where you are making mistakes, where you can make improvements, and how you can become better. Because you'll never know everything there is to know when it's time to be an expert in the area of diversity and inclusion. So just to kind of orient you to the podcast again, the purpose of this podcast is to explore and learn a little bit more about diversity and inclusion, but then also how can you take this concept of diversity and inclusion, how can you take this idea of we is greater than me and then pivot that to being the best you we can create. It's also going to be a bit about personal leadership as well. That will be some of the things we explore today. And again, today's topic is going to be specifically about being your own worst critic. So this is a space for us to take deep dives into topics that are of concern of the community. It's a place for us to talk and hear and understand things for those that are doing anti-IST work. And I'm working on having a little bit more of a conversational tone. One of the things that I'm trying to fix is my tongue claps when I get dried out. So I'm gonna be taking sips of tea from time to time, because it's gonna help me be a better podcaster. But then too, I think it helps remove some of the performance anxiety that I'm experiencing as I'm doing a podcast too. So still trying to find our feet here at the Inclusive Activism Podcast, and very grateful for my producer, Sarah, who takes the time to comb through all this stuff and make it digestible and something that's of value for you. Today, the topic is going to be your own worst critic. This relates a bit to the concept that we talked about last time in avoiding elitism, but the focus is going to be a lot more inwardly directed than outwardly directed. When we looked at why we should avoid being the elitist, the point of that was to not look down on other people, to understand that we're all in our process, that we're all doing our work, that we're all trying to get better, and that we need to be patient. Somebody took the time with us. Someone helped explain things to us with great patience, and we need to give that concept or that idea to someone else. So that is how we'll be sprinkling in the theme from elitism into being your own worst critic. You'll see some of these things as the podcast progresses. There's going to be some overlap. There's going to be some things that kind of point back to each other. And that's kind of the point. How do these things move together? How do these things help us understand things in a new way? How do they help us become better? How do we do this work better? So the first thing that I wanted to talk about with being your own worst critic is that it is a method of personal leadership. So this is a great opportunity to become better. You'll never have learned it all. No matter how much time you spend in this area of diversity and inclusion, there's always more to learn. And there's always ideas that haven't been considered that you need to take some time to internalize, to understand in a different way. And really, another thing that is important about what we're going to be doing with this is you have to take your time to digest and understand new concepts and new ideas. We've all been programmed into a specific way of thinking, which I refer to as normativity. This is the concept that the way things are framed and given to us from the world in society is the way that it's supposed to be. And it's not really the case. It's not supposed to be that way, and it doesn't need to be that way. There's limitations in the way that it is, and there's opportunities in the way that it could be. How can we take this new concept, see the opportunity in it, and find a new way to create a new opportunity in a space with other people that are not getting the benefit out of this? So we want to try to not just do and be the same way we've always been. We want to try to look towards this new, better we, this way that we can do life in a new and better way. And so when we look at being our own worst critic, we're trying to look at ourselves and see in what ways are we just living out the programming that we've been given? In what ways are we just doing the things that we've always been taught and not really seeing the value in trying to do something new or trying to understand things in a different way? It's a way of really honing the self. It's a way of really trying to like see where we can get a little bit different thinking, where we can try to find new ways of seeing things. And there's a quote I've been working on with this, so I'm really hoping I didn't steal this quote from someone else specifically. So the quote, let me try to nail this and get it right. It is those who are first willing to admit their own error who are often most correct in the first place. And the idea here is, if you're willing to look at where you were wrong first, you're probably going to be right most often in the long term, because you're willing to internalize your own wrongness or see where there's an opportunity for you to look at that sense of like wrongness and another way of like doing that better. When we're confronted with this idea of, oh, hey, we're wrong and it's time to think a new way, it's time to understand things differently, we need to kind of pivot to wonder, okay, how could this have truth in it? How could this be great feedback for me to see a new way where I can come to a new understanding, where I can learn something about what's being taught to me? Where is the positive in this feedback? Because it's feedback, right? We're all trying to learn that stuff. We do this because we are attempting to understand and gain a willingness to consider adopting a new viewpoint. When someone shows us something or teaches us something or offers criticism where we're wrong, we're getting to look at the world through their lens and getting to understand things in a new and different way. So when we look at this critique of us or how we're doing something wrong or where we're being criticized or where we think we're doing something wrong in the first place, it gives us the opportunity to take on another person's worldview. It helps us see the world in a more full and different way, and it helps us to think about how we can adopt that new worldview for a larger perspective of the world, where we can really see things in a more full way, rather than just from our own lens, rather than seeing the world from a place of our own understanding specifically. So this is a constant process. It's going to be ongoing all the time. And I can tell you from personal experience that the times I have made the biggest mistakes, the times that I've really just screwed up and been incredibly embarrassed, is when the times that I just took as a given that I was right, that I didn't want to think about what someone was saying. I was just convinced of my own rightness. I didn't want to see where there was wrongness in what I'm saying. Because let's be real, there's rightness and wrongness in every statement. When it's time to look at the critique, or when it's time to really dig into what's going on with us, we're trying to internalize the spaces where we've made a mistake, or look at ways where we could learn about doing things a little bit better, a little bit differently, and then also make positive changes. But it takes reflection and careful consideration, because not all feedback is good feedback, and it gives us an opportunity to be a better person overall. We need to think about those things. We need to really be careful when we're considering that stuff, because some people aren't really trying to help all the time, and we want to see when and where we're trying to get new feedback for new help. The second point on why you want to be your own worst critic is, it's feedback, right? Like, this is feedback. Someone's actually taking the time to try to help you, try to see things different, try to look at new ways of doing something. So feedback can be used. I mean, we love and adore feedback. It's funny because we die for affirmation. When we look at the model of plus delta, we at first just get really addicted to the pluses. But pluses is stuff we already know. Pluses is what we've already been doing well. There's no new opportunity in a plus, because a plus is the same way we've always been doing something. It's the delta is where there's an opportunity to do something different. So delta doesn't mean negative. It means start doing this, stop doing this, here's a place to make a change. And I can fall into the plus trap too. It's really easy to look at where you're doing great or where people laud you and where people think you're doing amazing, but there's no growth in plus. Plus is just where you are. Delta is the place for change. Delta is the place for something new. It's the place to try to consider something new and try some radical stuff. When I think of this concept of feedback, I think about John Stuart Mill. And he said one of the biggest problems we have as a society is that we're not able to consider new thinking. The biggest threat of diversity comes from this idea of the tyranny of the majority. And basically the idea contained in that was, when we already feel like we all know something and this knowledge is taken as a given, that's the biggest threat to a space where there can be new thought. The area where there's the most consensus is the biggest threat of groupthink, and the biggest threat of where, like, this concept of normativity, where just doing the same thing in the same way, the place that we're in, the way that we're always used to, it doesn't give us the opportunity to consider something differently. And that tyranny of the majority idea is really where hegemony, which we'll talk about in another podcast, and the tyranny of the majority, like, really hold grounded ideas in the same space and doesn't allow us to, like, break out of the same old thinking to create new concepts. The funny thing is, these days I see people as very conflict avoidant. They're very afraid of trying to work through and get through a conflict. That's where I think this concept of being your own worst critic is really helpful. There's nothing wrong with conflict. Conflict's fantastic. Consensus, there can be no new concept which comes from consensus. In a space where there's been long-standing agreement, there's no new opportunity to understand things differently. That consensus holds us from new thought, whereas conflict is an opportunity to think about something differently, to consider things in a way that we had never thought of before, to come up with new opportunities, new concepts, new win-wins, new zero-sum, non-zero-sum games, where we can really create spaces that truly benefit all of us. Mill went so far to say that you should actually listen to the crazy lunatic person just raving on the street, because everyone just passes the lunatic by and no one stops to consider what they have to say. Because it's a given, right, that there's no value in what's being said there. But imagine you were the only person that knew you were right and no one would listen to you. That's kind of where that concept of where, like, there needs to be some thought and consideration given even to concepts that we think are givens or we would immediately reject, because we need to try to come up with a new understanding that's contained therein. Also, when we consider this tyranny of the majority idea, that's where you really need to look at your circle of friends and find out how much true diversity, not just skin tone, sexual orientation, class, not just those traditional modes and methods of diversity. Like, I'm talking about, like, actual diversity. Like, do you have rich friends? Do you have middle class friends? Do you have poor friends? Do you have homeless friends? Can you connect with someone that's actually living and being homeless on the street? Do you know that point of view well? Do you have conservative friends? Do you have religious friends that are very convicted in their faith? You need to have a lot of different people in your world and people you definitely don't agree with. I feel like listening to others who don't agree with you specifically is really crucial. There's times to be around the people that agree with you, and of course that's the space that's easiest to be. But at the same point in time, there's not like a new thought there. Unless you're trying to consider different viewpoints in those spaces that you're with, people that you agree with, you're not going to come to a new understanding. Now, you do need to be around people that do the work. People that do, that's the reason you're listening to the Inclusive Activism podcast, right? Is because you need a space to hear these things. You need a space to vent. You need a space to talk about things that you're worried or afraid about. It's a space to for us to plug in and get better. So I'm not saying we don't need to spend time with each other, but there's a threat in spending too much time with people like us. But like I mentioned before, if you're wrong, that's great. And you can take that new learning, you can internalize that, you can understand that in a new way. But even if you talk to someone and they talk to you and they give you a critique, but you're not swayed, right? Say you're in a space where you don't think you're wrong, you still feel as though you have a better, more enlightened understanding than this other person because you've taken time to really consider that point of view. There is still a real deep value in understanding the needs and concerns from a point of view that's different from you. There's a reason why things are the way they currently are. It's because that's the way the greater we have agreed that it should be. And it's because there hasn't been an appeal made for a new concept, which is better for we, or which is less me-centric, that can create an opportunity for a new reality. But in this critique, in this thing that someone's coming to you and bringing to you, you can understand this new way of thinking. This hearing the new concerns and needs behind someone you disagree with is really important, because in that space is the opportunity to create an appeal that is a new understanding that comes outside of currently entrenched policy positions. That's another space where I think this concept of being your own critic is really important. What is a policy position, and then what is the need and concern you're trying to advocate for? all feedback has value. I want to take some time to really talk about, what do you do with feedback you don't want? Or what do you do with feedback you don't want to use? I'm making this sweeping comment that all feedback has value. Not all feedback should be internalized and considered a new way of thinking. It's not necessarily value. Let's be real, like, there's definitely such thing as a haters out there, or people that only give you feedback in order to rip you down. But even in the feedback that are coming from people that you shouldn't listen to, they're actually literally telling you, hey, don't listen to me, don't value me. Well, they're not saying don't value me. They're saying don't value this particular feedback. This feedback is not what I'm giving to you to help you. I'm giving you this feedback to tear you down. And we get a lot of messages that are specifically meant to hurt or destroy this. So when we're looking at feedback, we really want to consider what feedback is coming from sources we don't want to listen to. To tell you a story from my friend Eric Thomas, he runs a personal training and supplement company called Newfound Power. If you're interested in some of the supplements, you can go to www.nfpgear.com. It's great stuff. It's stuff that I use on my own. But one of the things that we've always been passionate about is this concept of personal leadership. And one of the quotes that he taught me when I was younger was, when you're listening to something and someone was criticizing you, what Eric told me was, like, who the fuck is this guy anyway? Why are you listening to the guy? Who is this person? Are they worthwhile? Are they trying to help you? Or are they just tearing you down to make themselves feel better? You really have to consider where that feedback's coming from and what's the intent behind that. Now, I try to assume positive intent around most things given to me. Like, I don't feel most people are trying to tear me down. But at the same point in time, if you are trying to tear me down, if you're trying to make yourself feel better because you don't feel that good about yourself, I gotta really consider where that's coming from. You have to be, I don't want to say picky, but you have to be discerning in the feedback and where it's coming and what's the source and what's the intent. There was a concept I was trying to explain to one of my students, and the idea was, he was trying to defend someone who was saying something to a friend that obviously wasn't listening anyway. And they got really hurt and offended and they were annoyed. And I was trying to say, I was like, you know, you don't yell at a dog because it's barking at a wall, because the wall doesn't care anyway. The wall wasn't listening in the first place. Don't worry that the dog is barking at the wall necessarily, unless the point is you're trying to reduce the noise. But if you're worried that the wall is going to internalize the dog's barking, you're going on the wrong bent. You're really getting no positive intent from that thing. So you really need to listen to who's trying to help you, who's trying to build you, who's trying to just critique you or tear you down, and who's trying to build you up, and how can you find the good in what you're looking for. The final concept that I want to look at is, this practice of being hard on yourself helps you practice this idea of being proactive versus reactive. I think we become so trained in reactivity because we don't see positive paradigms of proactivity. I think we get to spaces where we think that feedback is about us as a person and not the thought that's contained in the vessel of us. Like, these thoughts are not us. These are just thoughts. Thoughts change, thoughts evolve, thoughts move. Just because we hold a position in this moment doesn't mean that position can't change or evolve. There's no perfect thoughts. There's no perfect concepts. We're anti-perfection here at the Inclusive Activism Podcast, right? So why the hell do we make this shit about us as a person? Why are we consumed with this concept of our own greatness? I thought this thing was about us and not about me. We is greater than me, right? It's inclusive activism, not inclusive usivism. So let's not make it about you. And, like, take a moment to consider the absurdity of any situation. Let's look at me right now. I am literally talking to myself in a bedroom that is made into an office with crap everywhere. I have no idea if anyone's gonna listen to this. I have no idea if there's any value in what I'm saying. It's preposterous to think that this is gonna be of huge, great value and change the world. Some of this is because I need to be doing this for myself, but even looking at me in this moment, I'm talking to myself in my room and my dogs are looking at me questioning my sanity. So give yourself the benefit of a third person viewpoint. Look at yourself from a third person and just recognize that at times you can just laugh at yourself that you can be wrong, that you're not always right, that it's not about you. It's about trying to get better. It's trying to find a way to take this feedback, learn from it, and find a new opportunity and a new consideration. It's not about you. And I mean, it can be about you a little bit, because we have to recognize that we are crafting a better you in the process of considering our wrongness and trying to make a new, better us. We are trying to make a better you for the us. We are trying to make a better me for the we. But unless it's about making you better, then it's about you. And what's the value in making it about you? Otherwise, you're gonna connect rightness or wrongness to your identity, and rightness or wrongness isn't you or your identity. That is a false thought. Connecting yourself with rightness is gonna make you a jerk and everybody just hate being around you, because you're gonna connect you and your thoughts to rightness. And unless you're willing to be considered and be open to the idea that you have wrongness within you, that wrongness exists within you, that wrongness is something that you're working on, right? This is a process. Then you're not gonna be effective, you're not gonna get better, and you're not gonna do we, and you're definitely not gonna get better as a me. So don't wrap rightness or wrongness into your identity. These are just ideas, concepts that you hold, and we want to take those things out, look at them, see what's true, see what's false, come up with new understandings, and then move back. So let me be real with y'all. I too get wrapped up in my own ego. I think I'm right. Listen to me, right? I'm making a podcast, right? I'm saying I'm the inclusive activist. But getting wrapped up in your ego is the enemy. Your ego is the enemy. Your ego lies to you. It tells you that you're good enough, that you don't need to work hard, that you should stop striving, that you're fine with where you're at. And that is a lie. That is such a gross and disgusting lie. And you should want to be angry at that thought that you're good enough. You should want to distance yourself from that type of thinking, because this wrapping yourself up in the ego of rightness or wrongness is such a threat. That's where we get so entrenched with ideas and we can't consider new concepts. You must be willing to like pull a thought out of you, play with it, understand it from different ways. Also understand you don't have to react to everything in the moment. Shut up and think sometimes. You know, your first reaction's usually not your best reaction. Why don't we say to people, you know what, I don't know. Let me think about that for a while. I'm just not sure. Could you imagine the better answers you'd have if you were just like, hey, I don't know, I'm not sure, let me think about that for a while? My goodness, you could come up with such better stuff. So what information is the feedback that's given to you, and then what can you do with it? How can you apply this to you? How can you help this to come to a new way of thinking? How can this help liberate you from grounded thought that's been stuck too long? That's what I really love about this concept, being your own critic. I was at an Anytown training 2 weekends ago, and someone pointed out, look at that, right, with the ego. I said, I didn't come to this realization. Someone pointed it out to me. I was talking about Black Lives Matter and the importance of validating that Black lives do matter, right? And that that poor white people need to show up to validate that Black lives matter. But listen to the problematics in that. White people need to validate Black lives matter. And it was pointed out to me that I said as though validation comes and is connected to concepts of whiteness. That's not right. And I don't think that was my intent when I look at it. I think the intent behind that idea was that I was trying to say that more people want to get together to prove to normative society that validation of Black lives is really important. But in the way that I stated it, and potentially in the way that that's grounded in my mind, I'm connecting validation to the rest of society as though that's not the case already. And there's no question, Black lives matter. The problem is the rest of us don't agree that there is importance. There's nothing in Black Lives Matter that reduces the lives of anyone else. Like, it's just saying the rest of society doesn't seem to put as great of a value on them, and we need to change that thinking. But do you see how someone approached me with that? In the moment, I think I reacted really well. I said, you know what, you're right, language is insidious. I did associate validation with whiteness, and in my seeking of validation of whiteness to the BLM movement, I was reducing it. I was devalidating the lives matter portion of that thing. And it's important that I do that, right? Because I'm trying to take on this leadership mantle and people are looking at me. And if I can be open and if I can admit my own mistakes and find a space where I can show you I'm working on it too, that I'm not perfect, that it's okay not to be perfect. This concept of perfectionism in this area of like social justice is so damning and it hurts us so badly. It really is a great concern for me. Looking at ourselves, being able to admit when we're wrong and sharing these experiences of wrongness with others is really important. That's why I tell you the story about how me and my language and Black Lives Matter recently in front of people was wrong is important because I'm working on stuff too. And I'm going to tell you more about areas where I'm doing work and where I'd like to try to get better. A sip of tea for my producer, Sarah. Thank you very much. One of the things I want to try to add to the podcast now is the walkaways, right? So the three walkaways from today on the topic of being your own worst critic. If you want to talk about others, talk about you and your own faults first. And what does this do to help you? It's a form of diversity inclusion that is also personal leadership. It helps hone the me to make the me a better spouse from the we. Second, it is a place of feedback. And feedback has inherent value. There's great value in someone trying to help you do and understand something better. Just the fact that they're willing to try to persuade you shows a caring. I don't think they're trying to become your thought leader. I think they're trying to help you understand a need. And if you can read through all the stuff to try to find the need and concern about something, I think that's where we have the ability to come back and create something new and amazing. So first off, again, it's a form of personal leadership. It's a place to hone the me because you're always looking at places to get better. Second, it's a form of feedback. There's value in feedback. And lastly, it distances us from our ego. Ego is the enemy. We are very reactive. I am very reactive. I'm so good at critiquing the we. I'm still in my process of trying to like really deeply critique me. But it helps me be proactive. How can I make this about the message and not about me as a person? How can I not take personal affront to the thing that's being said and not internalize the thing that's being told to me? How can I not internalize my own wrongness and make wrongness part of my identity? Wrongness is just connected to thoughts, not identities. Right is connected to thoughts and not just identities. Truth exists outside of all these things, thoughts and identities. So don't connect those thoughts with you, and you'll actually be able to be that person who is able to admit. Remember, it's the person that's able to first admit their own wrongness who is most often right. I'm really hoping that quote sticks. So with that is my time. This is one of the first original podcasts, so I know there's not going to be any callers yet. But if any of this made you think or consider things in a little bit of a different way, if it made you think about something differently, or if you have a question or a shocking critique, which I could use, right? Because I'm trying to be a better me. Let me know. You can call the Inclusive Activism Podcast at 860-576-9393. 860-576-9393. You can always send me an email at rowdyduncan@cox.net and I'll read your feedback on the air, as it were. But again, this is a space where we're supposed to talk and have a dialogue. And it helps me feel not so weird just sitting in my office talking to myself. So if you have something or you want to add, or if there's something you liked, if there's something you'd like me to talk about more, give me a call at 860-576-9393. Leave me a voicemail. Email me at the rowdyduncan@cox.net. And you can also learn more about the organization at www.inclusiveactivismpodcast. But yeah, give me that information. Give me that feedback. I love feedback. This is a place to talk, to ask questions, to give me some scenarios about how you might react to something in real time. And two, depending on how good the stuff is, I might give it a future podcast where I give it a good half an hour in-depth look. Also, in the near future, stay tuned because I'm going to be doing a few interviews with people out in the world of inclusivism. So I'm hoping to share their knowledge, their ups and downs, the biggest things that they want to tell or communicate with you. So be on the lookout for that. I'm hoping to have those as a little bit longer than the podcast that I'm doing right now. I know these will be a little bit more content heavy, a little bit more rowdy heavy just because I'm waiting on calls. I'm hoping to have 10 minutes or so of the podcast be us talking to each other. But if you're on board with me through this and you thought something was of particular value, you can always book me to come and bring the power of inclusive activism to your organization. Please do so at rowdy.duncan@cox.net. That's rowdyduncan @cox.net. And if you want to learn a little bit more about the organization, go to www.inclusiveactivism.com and see how we can put the power of creating we greater than me, or the way that we can instill some personal leadership into you or the people that you work with, to make this about us being better at all the things that we do, as well as being better at being you. So thank you again, and I appreciate you being here, and I look forward to talking to you again in the near future.